I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part two of Gavin Mole, Eat, Train, Perform. Now, as we discuss more in detail about nutrition and me rambling, like I'm trying to learn not to for you guys, it's very informational. He talks about eating and other things along that line, things to help your player, snacks. Listen to what he has to say, and I hope it's helpful for you all. I really enjoyed interviewing Gavin and having the time with him that I did. Now let's head to the pitch and start this chat.
Is there any recommendations you'd give parents to go to for meals that are quick and easy, or ideas for them then? Because if they're coming home from training and if they can have the pantry packed or the refrigerator packed with foods, what would you advise them then?
Yeah, you mean like specifically before they go into like to their practices, the games, before, or just in general?
Before practices and then maybe when they come home. Like I said, like in our house, I try to get him fed and he's eating dinner at 4:30. I mean, that's super early.
Right.
Practice starts at 5:45. I mean, I don't make him eat too much because I don't want him to get sick on the field, and the heat doesn't help that equation. Then we have second dinner, and that's when he's like, I want chicken nuggets and french fries from McDonald's. I'm like, no. That's not how this works.
Well, in terms of like the because there's quite a big question, like the in terms of like trying to get them to like you said, eat more of the things that in the long term might be better, you know, for them. Perhaps a way, you know, a way to incorporate it, obviously make sure they do the grocery shopping with you and let them pick out certain things. And then so they might have, so they think they've had a decision. And when you've got a decision, a choice in the decision, mm-hmm. then generally they might be more open to eating those things. Like, and if you're on a given day, like in the house, like say the menu is this or that, and they choose which one they want, and neither option might be chicken nuggets, but because they've had a decision, because they've made a decision, and like they're more likely to eat it. That's like a tip in terms of like what the, if you do want to limit certain things that they eat, like in terms of snacks and stuff, like on the go things, like I said, there's different. So there's anytime snacks, and there's like one specifically for, I would say snacks need to be like, if you're packing snacks with them in at school or from the road, like when you're on the way to a game or on the way back from practices, snack things that are like shelf stable and, or can, you know, can last 1 or 2 days in a bag. And so it's quick and easy things, you know, like fruit, or you could have different types of, like you said, sandwiches are a good one. You should get carbs, protein, fats in there, bagels, obviously. You can even use, like I said, different types of drinks, chocolate milks, fluids, salty snacks, obviously, pretzels, crackers for after practices, for like help with replacing sodium, things like that. There's so many different like options, really. Like it's, so a lot of my handouts and stuff like have a full guide of when to eat with what. Like it's just there's an hierarchy of what's important, and like the when kind of like further down the pyramid, so to speak.
Gotcha.
Mainly I would say like fruits, different packaged snacks that are just during, like before games, carbs, and then any other time it includes protein, fats and carbs, so protein bars, granola bars, things like that.
Now, speaking of granola bars, is there a preference of type of granola bars? Is there like something we need to read in the labels that you'd recommend? Because I mean, you have everything out there. You have Kind bars, you have Clif bars, you have Chewy bars, you have all these other brands, and they all have their importance in the scale. I feel like as you get older, you just eat things because you know it's healthy. You might not care for the taste. I mean, as a 16-year-old athlete, you might be like, okay, I need to go eat this type of granola bar versus a Chewy bar. Chewy bar is high in sugar versus a Clif bar, which categories.
Yeah, it's a good question. Honestly, like, and again, it's these small steps where, like, as a parent, like at first you might just, it might just be any granola bar, right? And once they start to, because your taste buds change, right? Once they start to like the granola bar type of texture and feel and stuff, then you might introduce then one that might be slightly less sugar that they don't need around, you know, unless they're around practice or games, you might introduce one that's less sugar just as an anytime snack. It's a $1 billion business, granola bars. There's so many of them. Parents often ask me like what snacks and stuff I recommend and what, you know, what protein brands and what type of carbohydrates and things like that. So I actually created like a fueling links on my website, which people can just go to, and all the recommended products for like on the go snacks and different sources of foods is on there. So
is that behind the subscription or is that open to the general?
No, that's just free. It's just like an affiliate link store. Basically all the best fueling products and things to help with meal prep and things like that. Just it's on my website.
And as we move to like older athletes, because I mean, my kids are young, but I mean, parents have kids that are off in college to beyond 5 years old. So do you recommend as they grow to like the protein drinks or the shakes that they're all out there? I mean, as these kids progress, what do you recommend for parents and these athletes to hear then?
So protein is obviously one of the main macronutrients that we need to support, again, the human self, but then muscle strength, recovery, and lots of other things as a soccer player. Whey protein shakes, like you can get protein in food, obviously, it's abundance from multiple different sources. You've got incomplete proteins, you've got complete proteins, complete being animal source, incomplete being plant source proteins. They're in bioavailability and how your body digests them. Animal-based ones are called complete proteins because they're just more efficient. But obviously, you know, if you don't get enough in your diet, which to be honest, a lot of don't, like whey protein is a good supplement. I actually don't even classify it as a supplement because it's just whey. Just they derive it from milk, obviously. Like anybody can anybody can have whey protein. Like, it doesn't, the age is not really an issue for anybody. But I mean, in general, like, kids and everybody should eat whole food sources first. That's always food first is always my recommendation. If someone, certainly as you get older and high school kids and college athletes and whatnot there, I mean, I would imagine most take a whey protein shake. But like I said, it's important before and after, but spread it throughout the day in like 20 to 30 gram doses.
So having a little piece of beef jerky throughout the day is good for you.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good snack, actually. There's so many good snack options that you just forget them, really. Beef jerky is a good one, for sure. And if you like the texture of it, then it's a great choice because it's...
Probably I can eat a pound it in a sitting.
So. See, I can't. Like, it just takes too long to chew it. That's why I always forget about it, because it's not a go-to for me. But I prefer like a cheese stick. But
that's my son's. He always asks for a cheese stick and a chewy bar at bedtime. That's like his go-to snack.
It's a good choice.
And like, he's going to camp this weekend. That was what we packed. I packed for him. He has two snacks during the day, and I packed him two cheese sticks because I always worry about them because it's dairy and being in the heat. For him eating it, not so much keeping it cold.
That is the thing. If you're keeping it, like I said earlier, like if you're keeping it in your bag for a while or something, it does get a bit cheese stick. You need to be out.
At least
take it's an ice pack, an ice cooler or something.
He has his ice pack with his lunch. But I'm just my brain. I worry about him eating it and then getting sick, because it's not like drinking a glass of milk and going outside and playing and going over on 100 degree weather. But I still think of it as the same. I could be wrong how our bodies work.
Yeah.
I'm very often am wrong.
But I mean, you just mentioned milk. I mean, milk's obviously a great source of protein, but you also get the added calcium and stuff as well. So like, that's a good choice. You get the added carbs for energy as well. So
from milk,
but like, because obviously there's a lot of fear. I hear a lot of, you know, should we eat milk? Should we eat dairy? Cause again, it's, there's a lot of misinformation, but milk's obviously a great choice to get, make sure you get more protein as well. So
that's been my conversation I had with Jennifer when I talked to her. I asked a few questions about dairy. I want to hear your opinion on it, because I feel like as a parent, our kids, they drink about a gallon and a half between the two of them a week. And I mean, it's something that we don't say no to too often, just because I grew up, we drank milk. I'm one of six kids. We probably went through 3 gallons of milk a week as a family. And my kids, it's like, I don't want to say no to them, because I always felt like you get the calcium, because I feel like being an active athlete, the calcium is so important for not getting broken bones. That's where my brain of thought goes. I could be wrong. But what is your view on milk then? Because a lot of families don't include milk into the diet today.
So I have to sidetrack out. So I have celiac disease, right? So I have an autoimmune disease, and so I can't eat gluten. And there's nothing more annoying to me than when people cut out gluten because they just hear it's a good thing to do. Again, I'm doing good in air quotes. So like for me, again, it's all down to misinformation. Like if you've not got an allergy or an autoimmune disease to a specific type of food group, dairy, gluten, whatever it might be, then there's no reason to cut it out. Like there's very little, if any, research, as far as I'm aware, saying anyone needs to cut out dairy. But obviously, you know, but then you've got people who eat as a vegetarian or whatever. And obviously that's, you know, for those people who then they cut out certain products because of that's what their beliefs or that's what they want to do, then that's obviously fine and you find alternatives. But if you've got no, like I said, allergies or actual autoimmune conditions, I would say include certainly dairy, because like you said, for bone health and growth and development, it's key. But again, like if you don't have it, you can eat in different ways that still supports. So yeah, I would just say try not to avoid things just to avoid things, unless there's anything more major behind the concern. So
with our style of eating here in the United States, I mean, we are very much a on the go mentality, and you as a coach will probably see your players showing up to the field with our lovely Gatorades and sports drinks, which, or sodas for that matter. What advice do you give your players then? I mean, because you're a coach on top of this. I mean, so you kind of have, I feel like you might have like a double-edged sword or feelings based on coaching because of this. because they are your players, do you advise them and have little chats with the players or razz them a little bit about, like, you don't need to be drinking that? Because for me, like, I love my soda and it's one of the hardest habits to break.
Yeah. I'm probably saying the same thing again, but so my messaging is never trying to phrase things as you should never do this or she'd never do that. It might be, same as a coach, right? Like if I hear a lot of coaches saying, you know, don't pass through the middle or don't pass square, but there might be occasions where that's the right decision. So like the same with nutrition. So yeah, so I have 07s and 08 girls teams and yeah, they are obviously high school ages now and they rock up to the field with all sorts. And you know, and now obviously they ask me questions like, is this any good? Like, is this good? Or should I have this or should I have that? And a lot of them do try and take care of what they're consuming now. So I try to, again, coaches should be aware of phrasing things that says anything like they shouldn't do that or this is bad or like yelling at kids for having this or that, which does happen, by the way, especially when people who are not even qualified to give any information on it. So yeah, my advice is stay away from like the don't do this, don't do that. And it's more just, like I said, about as a parent, like try and make small changes, try and influence them in other ways. And, you know, if someone brought me something the other day and asked me, and I'd never seen it before, so obviously I had to read the back. I wanted to see what was in the ingredients and the label and whatnot, because it's a type of chew or something, but I've never seen the brand before. So, instead of saying if it was good or bad, I said, try it. Let me know how you feel during the game. This happened a couple of times. One tried something, came off the field, and she actually came off the field. Her stomach was upset. I was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have that before the game again. But maybe try it on a different day, away from practices, and see if, because it might not have been that. So it's real trial and error of like trying to get people to understand that you've got to try it because it's very individualized. What works for one before a game might not work for another. Like sports drinks, like you said, that's a big topic. And I have no problems with sports drinks whatsoever. They're a very good thing to have at the right time. But for some, you know, they might not digest them very well. Some might want like a chew. Some might just want a little pack of gummy bears, which might give the same output. So it's very individual in terms of what.
Gatorade was an example. My father-in-law was telling me when it was first introduced, they would have it at his practices in high school. And he goes, he would get so sick. He goes, just from 3-4 ounces of it, he goes, I could never drink. He goes, to this day, I still don't drink it. And this was years ago when I was talking to him. And we were talking about all the sports drinks. And he goes, no, I can't have it. I just get sick. He goes, it's supposed to help you, but it made him sick as a high school athlete. Cause that's what they gave him.
Yeah, no, it really can. Like, and that's why, like, now, I mean, like dietitian, you know, dietitians, sports nutritionists, like in the professional setting now, we'll work with the players. Like, you'll find like they have a guidelines, but players will, you know, each player will have a different plan of what they can eat. So that's what this is about, you know, trying to find out, giving you the tools to try and find out what works for you. In terms of Gatorade and stuff like that, obviously hydration is obviously a really important thing that I don't think we've mentioned yet, but especially in Texas, in the heat, hydration is obviously key to so many different things. It can really affect performance, even like a 2% drop is a massive difference in performance and endurance and, you know, heat exhaustion and dizziness and loads of things. But for hydration, like water is the best place to start. And then, you know, if you're, like you said, if it's really hot and you sweat or you're a heavy sweater or it is really humid, then that's when you might look into the sports drinks or, you know, the electrolyte drinks, get into those type of things. Most people won't need them until you're practicing heavy for over 60 minutes or it's real, like I said, hot or you can just sweat a lot. Sports drinks are a fine option. Like they get a bad rep as well because of the sugar content, but the sugar is actually what you need. So that's why they're in there. That's why the sugar's there.
With our society, especially here in the States, I've learned more about diets outside the United States, having conversations with folks. The big one is corn syrup here in the United States is almost in everything. And now, like you have your sports drinks like Gatorade and all them, depending on how you get it, a lot of times they'll have a form of corn syrup or sucrose of some sort that's not actual real sugar. Do you advise parents to stay away from those things? I know you try not to phrase things you shouldn't have it, but there's means to finding different avenues for different things.
Yeah, so there's certainly different products that have a different ingredient makeup for sure. Like the high fructose corn syrup is in a lot of ready to go snacks and drinks and a lot of things. You know, the research on it is varied in terms of what influence it will have. So, you know, it's one of them things where you probably, if you can, try and have this. If you can't, this might be fine for this occasion, you know. With sports drinks in particular, like there's really three elements that they need to have to help with hydration. So there's the fluids, of course. So you're getting just the water content, the electrolyte content, so how much sodium is in it to replace. That's the main electrolyte lost during sweat, during activity. And that's where you're getting the sugars from. So some sports drinks don't have carbs. Some do. Some have more sodium. Some have less. And then they all have, obviously, a fluid content. So there's, even with the sports drinks market, there's so many different variations of what you can. So like I said, it's really choosing when, why. Is that your only option? Could I add this option? Yeah, that kind of thing.
As I've learned, you don't, thinking of like the, you're talking about, made me think of the sodium that we're losing, made me think to our calorie count for the day. I know that with younger kids and adults, young adults being active, we really shouldn't be paying attention to their caloric intake, because like you said, you don't want to have a negative relationship. Like, I can't have this because it's 100 calories. No, you need to be, because they are active, and as long as they aren't gaining weight but having normal growth, as you said earlier, is it something that we should just stay away from and not look at it that way as counting calories anymore? Or should we just let our kids be kids and eat what they need to eat according to their hunger pains, so to speak?
Yeah, I would say just that, you know, what you said there, eat to hunger and try and let them figure that out. Obviously, you can keep an eye on it. And as we mentioned earlier, calorie counting can be a good thing for certain people, probably not the youth or, you know, athletes. I would recommend doing something called performance plates instead. So as the parent, you would set your plate up as a performance plate. So like, a third of it would be perhaps carbohydrates, a third protein, a serving of essential fats, and then color. So there's four different portions of the plate. So you're getting your proteins, you're getting your carbohydrates, you're getting your healthy fats, and you're getting color. So fruits, vegetables. So you just, yeah. So depending on, so one of the things I teach is the workshops and in what will be in the, you know, the memberships and stuff like that is figuring out your performance plate and how that differs on a low day, a moderate day, and a high day. So a low day might be just a complete rest. A moderate day might be you have one practice, or, you know, a high day might be a game, or like a tournament weekend would be an extremely high type of thing. So yeah, depending on the day or what load it is, then you would have, the only thing that really changes is the carbohydrates would change, you eat more or less. And then, yeah, another way to do it as well, if that's too complicated type of thing, is you can just use your hands. So like if you're putting a serving of protein would be the palm of your hand. So if you're obviously creating, you know, you're serving chicken breast or whatever, just a palm of your hand is a serving of protein roughly. And then a clenched fist is like a serving of carbs. And then a thumb is a serving of fats.
So what would you count as a fat then?
So any essential fats. So unsaturated fats for the most part, you want to limit saturated fats to a certain degree. So unsaturated, you know, oils, nuts, seeds, avocados, things like that. So fatty fishes is obviously a really good one for omega-3s. Generally those things. Saturated fats obviously is what you get is from meat and oils, not oils, butter. And then trans fat, yeah, as we mentioned earlier, is just all the deep fried artificial kind of fats.
The good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But honestly though, fats are so important for, which again, people don't realize, like for long-term endurance, that's where you get your main long-term energy from. Like marathon runners eat a lot of fats, hormone balance, and then recovery, immune system function. Like it's really important to get those. Like you should be eating at minimum 25% of your diet as essential fats. Really that, important. So
that being said, being a parent now, you're making my brain think here, because I do a lot of the cooking. How would you apply that to kids, like younger kids? I mean, even older kids. I mean, like you said, you were a picky eater until you were 27. I think I wrote down. Yes, 27.
I don't know if it was that old, but like it was close.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you create that I mean, other than leading by example, because that's the given pat answer for everything.
Yeah.
As parents, you have to lead by the example. But when you go to the grocery store, what would you advise parents to say? Like, here's your choices for fats to have in your diet, like adding oil, like you can add that into pasta and things like that, and have like an oil sauce with it. But what else would you advise parents then? I mean,
you said it is a difficult one, to be honest with you, because like, you know, the more essential fats or the healthy fats, like I said, is fatty fishes like salmon, and you know, things like that. Sardines is a good one, which I do not like at all. I will never eat them. Wife loves them, but I will not. I guess I'm still fussy in a way. But yeah, and then avocados are obviously is another really good one as well, which you can mix into things and kind of disguise that a little bit, and you can add different flavorings to that. It is a difficult one, though. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I don't really have any specific tips for how to incorporate those, so to speak, because, like you said, most of it's not the ones you want to eat so much.
So you have this all listed part of your program, though, like all these nutrients that you tips and tricks they can go and find within their leaflets they get, or pamphlets, or to give to their players.
Yeah, and I have like a cheat sheet of what type of foods to eat and when, like a big list, and it helps you put together those performance plate meals. So, and then more tips and tricks of like trying to deal with picky eats and stuff. But
because you talked about hydration, and I know hydration can make or break an athlete, to be honest. I mean, as adults, most of us are horrible with hydration. I know they always say that when you go to the bathroom, your urine should be a certain color. And I always feel like that's a hit or miss, because we aren't getting that color. So we're going to go drink a bunch of water, and now we're going to the bathroom 16 times in a day, which I can't imagine is good for our system
either. Yeah.
20 times a day. It's how do you find balance for anyone, for that matter? I mean, even parents and players. I mean, our players are out on the pitch for, like I said, 90 minutes during as they're older, for a full game, and then 2 hours for training a night, and then whatever other activities that they have going on. Like, how do you help your players and help parents maintain hydration, especially in our lovely Texas weather here, because it does get 100 degrees with 90% humidity?
Yeah, like you said, hydration is like the key. Like, it's like the thing that holds everything together, kind of thing. It's just so many things. My tips really are, be consistent with it. Like you said, you can't just chug. That doesn't work. You can't like backload hydration, like, if that's the right word. You have to be consistent. So, I mean, right here, I mean, you see me now, keep sipping on this water. Like, carry a bottle around with you, sip on it. Sounds weird, but use a straw instead. You often drink more if there's a straw as well. That's the same if you're out at home, or you're at school, or you're at practices. As a coach, I try and make sure I'm always giving them water breaks. And you get, I'm sure you've heard, you get the "I'm not thirsty" coach, and I don't care. Like, you need water, go drink water. Especially as we get to these heats now. I think there's a heat warning tonight as well, I think, right, where it's going to get so hot. So I think, let's carry a bottle around with you and be consistent. A general rule of thumb, drink half your body weight in ounces. Like you mentioned, like, one of the easiest way to test it is looking at the color. And, you know, bright white is not what you want, and certainly a weird color yellow is also not what you want. You want somewhere in the middle, like an off white, off yellow
kind of color.
Besides like actually working out sweat rate and all those types of things, like, it's a difficult one, and that's really the best way to go off it. But then, if you're someone who doesn't like, I suppose, if I give some advice, if you're someone who doesn't like drinking water, I know plenty of people who don't like drinking water, and so it's hard to drink as much as you need. And there's plenty of kids like that as well. Just add variety to it. So, like we mentioned, milk, like, use milk as a source of hydration. You know, use smoothies, eat more vegetables, or, you know, water-based, water-heavy fruits. And then that's where you can, you know, you can add in like the electrolyte packets and stuff. So you got more flavor. So it's helping with the electrolytes and replacing sodium, but also giving that extra flavor. So you're not just drinking water. Carbohydrates in like a sports drink also help encourage you to drink more and retain the water. so there's less lost. So there is like benefits to different variations of what you do. So yeah, that's kind of the main advice, I think, for hydration.
Now, you sparked a train of thought in my head, because how we, with the milk, I wouldn't think of milk. I always exclude milk from my intake, just because to me that is not, but it's, you said, you made the comment, it's a fluid that you're looking at, not so much and like the shakes, it's like that does help. So cooking,
yeah, really, and with the milk, it just adds fluids, and the carbohydrates as well can help retain more.
I never knew that about the carbohydrate, helps you retain fluids. That's a new wrinkle in my mind. Now, with that being said, cooking, when you cook certain foods, it changes the biology of the plant or the meat and how we digest it. Now, is there certain vegetables and fruits we should avoid? You really don't cook fruits, but you can dehydrate them and things along that line, which does change the biology of the plant when we digest it. So is there anything that you would advise parents to think about when they are getting ready to cook or whatever it may be for their players that they need to be on the watch out for when they cook something? Or
it's a good question. Like I know what you're saying, obviously, and you know, the nutrient profile that you retain and how it changes and stuff. For the most part, like I would say that's just too small of a thing to worry about in general for most people. Like there's so many more bigger picture things that need to be more, that are more important until you get to that point. You know, it's like that's the extra 5% without worrying about all the rest of the stuff first. You know what I mean? I mentioned that pyramid before, like, you know, it's the, you know, that it goes down in order. And then, you know, if eventually everything's perfect, then maybe worry about things like that. But it all honestly, like this, I think it's just too, it'll just overwhelm people. And there's, you know, it just could, there's no point worrying about that just at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yes. So if you would put the most important thing, then what would you label to be the most important thing for parents to know about nutrition for their athlete? And then kind of go down like five things or six things that you would advise them to focus on, because we are Americans, we're on the go, everything's a grab. People stop and pick up fast food, they pick up Chipotle or McDonald's or subs from somewhere or whatever it may be. And I feel like there are some great choices out there, there's some bad choices out there for on the go, but what are the criterias that parents need to be looking at for to get look through when they're trying to be efficient with time when something
like
happens?
Like you talked, in terms of the order and some importance of things to think about. Yeah. So like the first thing is just going to be, like I said, is your athlete eating enough? Like, are they underfueled or are they underfed? Which is a different topic entirely. I won't go into that too much, but you can be underfueled, but not underfed. You could be eating a lot of food necessarily at the right time. You're overfed but underfueled, kind of thing. You can get to that point. So that's why the first and foremost thing is at the top, the base of the pyramid is just how much energy you're taking in. So making sure that you're not underfueling. And then the next thing in the pyramid is kind of like knowing what you're eating. So like the macronutrients and understanding what each of those things do for your body and how that can affect performance and affect, like I said, your human self. And I think we have mentioned what each do, I think, during the course of the podcast. But so that's kind of the second thing. And then, you know, then we go into micronutrients. So that's where we're adding in the little things matter more, like the vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, that type of thing. So you're basically going from like big to small, like you're working on the big picture things and then narrowing it down to the smaller things. So that's when that becomes important. And then the next one is then the timing of things. So that's when you're looking at performance plates and figuring out, well, this is, you know what you're going to eat, you know what it does, and now you're deciding, is this the right time for me to have this? So like I said earlier, like a pre-game meal might be 3 or 4 hours before. It's a well-balanced meal, it's got a serving of protein, it's got a third or two or a half of the plate is carbohydrates, like a whole grain complex carbohydrate source to give you sustained energy, a little bit of healthy fats, one or two servings, and then add some color as well. So, and then that might be different, obviously, for after a game. So it's just going from big to small, really. And then, you know, then it's just, like I said, it's just general tips of don't skip meals and get your energy snacks in, because they're important to make sure you're topping up the fuel in stores. And really just the main thing is start small and don't make any big changes, and test things out during your off days and try and find what works for you. And for parents, like I said, it's, if you're looking at it specifically for those, for performance goals, then you're looking in that order. Start with the big picture, then the smaller. If you're just general, not worried about the sport and things, then obviously, like I said, it's more trying to make sure it's working on hunger cues and not really trying to help not create that bad relationship with food. And I will link a few. I'll send you a few of the people that follow that work specifically in that, and like how to deal with picky eaters and all those types of things.
So you said a few things and it didn't click. So you say color, and that's what I was taught as a kid. My mom says, make sure your dinners are always colorful. Yeah. And that means you're adding the fruits and vegetables, because having a chunk of meat on the plate is not very colorful. Now, do you need to focus more on fruits and more on vegetables, or 50-50 then? Or is it just like you have picky kids? Like my kids will eat, my son will eat broccoli, my daughter will eat corn, but they both don't eat.
Yeah. No, I get what you said. No, it's a good question. So there is a lot of overlap, obviously, in terms of what vitamins and minerals each thing can give you. In general, I would say, in a non-soccer specific thing, just if they're eating some kind of fruit or vegetable at most meals, you're doing well. Like, it's people don't get as much as they need. On a soccer specific thing, you know, you're going to eat vegetables at different times than you would eat certain fruits because of the different carbohydrate makeup of them. So you want to eat vegetables further away from game time, or not even on game days at all, because it's fibrous and it sits in your stomach. Whereas fruits like strawberries and pineapples and bananas and all those sort of things help. You can have them during half time, and it's going to help give you energy. And it's generally, for most people, won't upset your stomach too much.
So watermelon and strawberries, you're saying, on game day.
Just examples.
I'm just taking it to the extreme.
Yeah. No, I mean, watermelon is a good one. I like watermelon for sure. Bananas, oranges are, you know, the rec favorite for sure.
Yes, orange slices is at everything. Yeah.
No, but they are good. It gives you the extra energy during halftime, though. It's important, you know. But yeah, so in general, like, there's the reason why I state for color is because every color represents something different. So like, if you're not eating different variety of colors, you're not getting all the vitamins and minerals. So in general, you want to. So when people say eat the rainbow, is that's why they're saying it.
And you don't mean Skittles, right?
Well, actually, Skittles is my 08 girl's favorite halftime.
Really?
Yeah, they have Skittles. It's also one of my favorite snacks, so they give some to me. So
no, I'm just saying.
I'm happy with it.
their advertising is taste the rainbow.
Yeah,
their slogan there. I find it fascinating. Yeah,
their taste the rainbow is a bit different, but that is why, though. Yeah, it's just, so there's so many different types, like even just like potatoes, you can get white potatoes, red potatoes, purple potatoes, you know what I mean? Like, they all have something.
So what would potatoes fall underneath? This is me being dumb now, in my opinion. Potatoes have always been a starch, in my opinion, but some people call them a vegetable, some people call them.
Yeah, so potatoes would be like part of your complex carb meals.
Okay.
So away from, Not too close to game time, not too close to practices. They will sit in your stomach a little bit, but obviously a really good source of carbohydrates.
Now, and this will be my last question, I'll get back to my favorite questions. Now, eggs, and this is, I feel like this is another one that has a mythical arm. I feel like we're all over the place on this today, but it's my ADHD and how it works. I'm sorry for everyone that's listening. Eggs, where do you fall on eggs?
It's one of the best, air quotes, foods you can eat. Eggs are amazing. Eggs taste amazing. Eggs are so diverse. Eggs are incredible.
Now, I ask because this is the one snack that we try to give him after practice. But we have this little contraption that we bought, and you spin the egg and it mixes the yolk together with the whites, So, so it's just like a yellowish, whitish egg that gets hard boiled. So there's no, he doesn't like the yolk, the whatever the yellow part is. Yeah, the yolk of the egg.
The yolk.
He likes the whites.
That's the tastiest part.
And he refuses to eat it. So I bought this little mixing thing because I found it. So you're an advocate of eggs then, in moderation.
I mean, eggs are amazing. Like, I mean, not even in moderation. I mean, you can have multiple eggs a day. As far as I'm aware, obviously, unless you've got a cholesterol problem,
right?
But like, eggs won't give you bad cholesterol.
That's where people
people do hear that though, so I'll confirm that. But no, the only time, so this happens a lot, so as I talk about obviously what to eat and advise my teams in just general, a lot of people will eat eggs like right before games or right after. It's not necessarily the best choice. Eggs are one of the best foods you can eat, but right before games, not so much, because it's full of essential fats, which I don't know why I didn't mention eggs earlier when you asked about fats, but just forgot them. But eggs eggs are my go-to for essential fats. But yeah, no, it's again, it sits in your stomach. You don't want fats too close to games, etc. So and then afterwards, if you're having it afterwards and you don't have another game, so like it's not a tournament weekend, you've just played a game, you come home, or it's a practice, you come home, also a great choice because you're getting the protein, you're getting the essential fats, like in a one-to-one, right? But if you're, I know you do a lot of tournaments and stuff. So if you've got a tournament and you've got a game at 10 a.m. and then you've got a game at 2 p.m., which happens a lot with the scheduling, eggs probably wouldn't be the best choice. Kids in general metabolize fats a lot quicker and a lot more efficiently than we do as adults, so it's still not a bad choice by any means, but we can
give them a half
it just a little bit,
yeah, a quarter of an egg, and they're good to go for their fats. Yeah. You can give them some pretzels
in between. But no, eggs are a superfood, if I use
I like that.
A non-real word that everybody uses, so.
And I always forget to ask everyone this. Once again, your website is?
EatTrainPerform.us.
.us. And I always ask everyone, who has been your greatest influence since you did play as a player, and who has been your greatest influence as a coach and now as a nutritionist? So you have three different examples that you have. I'd like you to share.
You said as a player?
First as a player, then as a coach, then as a nutritionist.
I mean, I don't want to be anyone. But I guess as a player, my dad, because like I said, he played. I watched him play, and I grew up just kicking a ball around with him, and he coached me for a majority of my life, so to speak. So, as it was Father's Day yesterday, I'll give him the shout out. As a coach, it's probably the same thing, because like I said, he's the one that's coached me. But to be honest, though, like my coaching is. The way I coach has come from my own experiences of playing and being coached. So it's more, I've developed that through just what I've experienced. And so what's important to me is based on how I was taught as a kid and what I did like and what I didn't like. And then what was the last one?
Nutritionist, like what you do now.
There's so many people in the nutrition space where I can't even pinpoint one person. There's like a two sides in the nutrition space. There's ones who follow science and try and help give guidance, and then there's the people who walk around grocery stores shaming all different types of foods and looking at you and telling you that you shouldn't eat this or that. And so I guess I follow or look up to the ones on the other side of it.
Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This was a lot of fun with Gavin. He shares a lot of insightful information. Now, if you want to find more information, you can catch his website at eattrainperform.us. He also has his book, that is discounted if you use the code CBTP. And it's all listed in the show's description. Now, I hope you take the time to listen to them, and hopefully this is helpful to you guys as it was for me as a parent. Gavin gave some great insight, and I hope you guys do check him out. So until next time, see you at the pitch.